Okay. Here we go. And the screen is shared. Again, I'll begin by thanking the sponsors. So again, I'd like to thank the Lax family for sponsoring the whole event, all our learning tonight. And additionally, I'd like to thank specifically the sponsors of this shiur. Thank you very much, Jeanette, and excuse me one second, Michael, Rafael, sorry, Rafi, in loving memory of Jeanette's parents. Thank you for joining us in person and always showing your face. I really appreciate that. Thank you for Yaakov and Chaya Feldman, Laser and Shana Friedman, Zev and Shandy Goldstein, Zev and Sybil Hirschtal, and Sam and Judy Silverberg, and Howard and Nancy Wasserman. Okay, to begin with, it's worth noting historically that this was not always a thing. And by that I mean, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish community, did not always traditionally finish the Torah in 1 year. In fact, it was often took a much longer time. If you look in source number one, this is a book from the Gaonim, the Gaonic period, which, as far as I know, the period of the Gaonim, end of first millennia in the Common Era, is the beginning of a formal Simchat Torah celebration. And we have the following sentence. Eretz Mizrach, in the land of the east, which in this context means Babylonia and the like, Osin Simchat Torah b'chol shana. They make Simchat Torah every single year. Eretz Yisrael, gimel shana mumatza. And in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel, they do it every 3.5 years, as some have noted in the chat. So they didn't even finish the Torah every year. However, if you look at the Rambam already tells us in the 12th century that although the two customs did exist, the custom to finish the Torah every single year is indeed prevalent. Right? He says, "Aminag ha'pashut v'chol Yisrael," in source number 2, Laws of Prayer 13.1, "Shemashlish menato Torah b'shana achat," that we complete the Torah in 1 year. Machlim b'Shabbat achar Chag HaSukkot, we begin with the Shabbat after Sukkot, v'karim b'Seder Bereishit, v'ashniyah yal tolo Noach, and on every single week, until we finish b'Chag HaSukkot. And he says, yesh mi shemashlim et ha-Torah b'shalosh anim, there are those who complete the Torah in 3 years, but that's not the prevalent custom. So already in the time of the Rambam, the prevalent custom is, finish it in a year. Truth is, you look at source number 3, source number 3 is the itinerary of Benjamin Atfridello, who was a fascinating explorer who explored the Jewish world of Europe and Egypt. He went all over and wrote about his findings. It's both very significant halachically and also just historically, because we didn't have the records, like he recorded them at that time. And he says as follows, take a look he's talking about Mitzrayim, and I'll read from the third line here. The synagogue of the men of the land of Israel is called Knesset El Shachamiyin. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, for all those who know how to pronounce that properly. And the synagogue of the men of Babylon is called Knesset Al Irkayin. Their usage with regard to the portions and sections of the law is not alike. For the men of Babylon are accustomed to read a portion every week, as is done in Spain, and as our custom, and to finish the law each year, while the men of Palestine, or Israel, do not do so, but divide each portion into 3 sections and finish the law in the end of 3 years. However, the two communities, however, have established a custom to unite and pray together on the day of the rejoicing of the law, and on the day of the giving of the law. The day of the rejoicing of the law, of course, being Simchat Torah. So eventually, we get to this point in history where it's finished every single year, it's the prevalent custom. And even in the time where there were two different customs, Benjamin Tudela tells us that people still, even those shuls that didn't finish the Torah, still celebrated it on Simchat Torah. Parenthetically, I think that's actually very significant for us this year. Because while there are many synagogues that didn't complete the cycle, there are a few, believe it or not, that sat down and knocked off a bunch of parshiyot in a day. Maybe we can have some sort of participation in their Simcha as well. So that's the custom of finishing the Torah in 1 year. How does this idea of celebrating begin? What is actually done? And the simple answer to that question is everything. You name it, they did it to celebrate Simchat Torah. We'll begin with this tshuva from the or passage from the Ritz Geut, Rabbi Isaac ben Judah ibn Giyat. This is a very early Rishon in medieval times, 11th century Spain, a contemporary of the Ibn Ezra. And he writes as follows, Regilin Bayom Zeh, So we have the custom on this day to say many praises and wait and beautifications of the Torah. We say lots of praise and thanksgiving for the Torah. Because of all the wonderful ways we celebrate the Torah, all the praises, all the songs, he says that's why we call it Simchat Torah, because of the way that we celebrate it. So what we read, we hear about singing, songs, praises, not too many specifics yet, but look at what else they did. Nishalm Rabbeinu Hai Gaon, Nahagu B'mekomenu Yom Tov Acharon Shachad Mekalsen Sefer Torah Mevin Mugmura O Levea Knesset. So they would praise the Torah, and they would bring mugmeraot, which are spices to shul, umeashnin with nei sefer Torah, and we would smoke them in front of the sefer Torah. I don't know if that means the cigar they burned it, but they were creative. They were a bit rowdy when they celebrated Simchat Torah. Ki yagan la ishanu mutar lagamer hu v'aser. So this is a technical halachic question. There's a question in halacha. There's a distinction between Ishan and Megamer. Ishan means where you want to give off a certain scent. Or rather, Ishan means you smoke food. And on Yom Tov, there is a halacha called Ochal Nefesh, you can do food preparation. Megamer is you perfume an object, and that's forbidden. The question is, when they would blow the smoke in front of the Torah, is that okay? And he said, V'heshev, hi v'adi Megamer huvasar. No, you can't do that. Sorry, got to put the perfume away. Not okay. Vadei ki zeh regilun, but zeh regilun etzleinu me'oz, lerkod bo afilu kama zekinim b'shah sharim klusim ha-Torah. This is what we do. We dance. We dance when they sing songs to the Torah. That's what we do to celebrate. He's like, essentially the question is, okay, you want to find a way to celebrate with passion. So put the smoke away, please. You know, no smoking sign outside the door. That's forbidden. But we dance. We dance to the Torah. Even Zikinim, even the elders. Even though you're not theoretically supposed to dance on Shabbat and Yom Tov, that is a rabbinic injunction, and therefore we waive that rabbinic injunction in order to properly celebrate the honor of the Torah. V'od nishal mimenu. Look at this next custom. Makum shenagu lasot atara l'sefer Torah. In the place where they make a crown for the Torah, like we have on front of our Sefer Torah, and they make it out of gold and silver and hadas, what's the way to translate hadas? Let's look down here. We have an old translation here. Myrtle branches, is it? Hadasim we use on Lulav and Esrog. Bamin Tashtain Hashem, or women's myrtle, that's it. Women's jewelry, kigon is a mimatabaot, like rings. And bracelets, v'kayotze b'hem, v'tolin b'oto atara, and they take women's jewelry and they hang it on the Torah to beautify the Torah. B'shu b'toch atik, whether it's in the case, o alatik shalo, or even on top of the case, b'yom simcha Torah mutar b'tishaytein Hashem olo. Can we use women's jewelry to beautify the Torah? And the answer is, I'll just say the answer outside. He says it's okay to do that. Number one, it's not a problem of Beged Isha, right? There's a problem of men cross-dressing, and that's just not relevant here. No one's cross-dressing. It's a Torah. It's not a person, so that's okay. Number two, there might have been an issue where can women take back the jewelry after it's put on the Sefer Torah, or at that point, does it have a certain level of sanctity to it such that they cannot no longer use it normally? To which he responds, no, it's okay, because that's clearly not seen as any sort of permanent arrangement. When people put the jewelry on the Torah, it's clearly meant for just the day. They mean to take it back afterward. That's not what we call hazmana milta. That's not called a designation, which is significant, and therefore you can put the jewelry on your Sefer Torah, no problem. Go get your for all the women in the audience. You can take your bracelets and your necklaces and your rings and put them on the Torah to make them beautiful. Now that's something I haven't seen ever. I don't know about you, but sort of is interesting. You know, I will note that I think we sometimes get very narrow-minded. Like, we think, like, what do you do on Simchat Torah? The same thing we've done every year. And I think there's something beautiful to that, But clearly they didn't find this in any sources, right? They didn't look in some sort of book and write and read, oh, you're supposed to take jewelry and put it on the Torah, on Simchat Torah. That's not what happened. They were looking for ways to enthusiastically celebrate their reading of the Torah, and this is what they came up with. Some of it was not okay, which is also a lesson in and of itself. Not all methods and modes of celebration are okay simply because they're celebration, but some of it was okay, even at the expense of some rabbinic injunctions. So that is Rav Haigon. So we have singing, dancing, beautifying the Torah, the smoke, which we said was not okay. We move on to Sidur Rashi. Rashi, of course, is Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, the most famous commentator on either Bible or Talmud. And we have a Sidur, which is not necessarily written by him, but it's written about his customs that by his students, if I am not mistaken. He writes a little poem here, and depicting what's done in Simchat Torah, and it sounds pretty similar to what we do, believe it or not. B'Simchat Torah gomrin et ha-halel, yitgadel titkabel. On Simchat Torah, we finish Halel. Yitgadel titkabel, right? What does that remind you of? Anybody? What's the word yitgadel titkabel come from? Kaddish, right? We say Kaddish after Halel. That's what he's saying. Meterem yikrav lo'tziyat ha-Torah yishoreru psuke yachad le'simchat Torah. Before, right, when we read the Torah, we bring it out of our own Kodesh. Before we do that, they sing together for Simchat Torah. Kimsol chatan l'kra kala. Like a chatan, like a groom who goes to greet the bride. V'chola amo ninach harav ata areta. And everyone recites ata areta. Now you're familiar, if you've been to Shul on Simchat Torah, that when they take the Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, there's a number of verses, psukim, that are recited. Now I always thought that that's sort of like, you know, a minhag, you know, like came about later. No, those psukim are part and parcel of the tradition of celebrating Simchat Torah. So clue number one, even if in Shul we can no longer dance the same way, but the singing and the reciting of the verses should be just as, you know, time permitting, as relevant as it is in most years, and that is an integral part of Simchat Torah. Voseah hala me'at me'at and mishaveah ba'alfa beta. And the person holding the Torah takes a step little by little, right? Atareta, alpha, beta. That's a rhyme also. Elokei aruchot, right? Elokei aruchot, yisoshiyana. That's what he's referring to. What we do when we take out the Torah. Ukshayalu the migdal yizamru alakol. When you go up to the migdal, the tower where they read the Torah, you sing more. Poteach v'karei v'zota bracha. Then you go and read the zota bracha, the last parsha. V'karei katan v'gadol l'shema brachot. And we call up to get an aliyah, both young and old. We'll call up minors. Right? That's not something we always do. On Simchat Torah, we call up minors to get an aliyah. V'yinadru nedarim lekvorat Torah. And people who get the aliyot, make vows. Vows, vowing to donate to Torah causes in honor of the Torah. Lekrat chatan mirishut. So for the first chatan Torah, right, already in the time of Rashi, they refer to the person who finishes the Torah reading, that finishes off Vizot HaBracha as Chatan. We say Mirishut, right? The same thing that we in Sound Day say nowadays, already in the time of Rashi, almost 1,000 years ago. Shemna psukim acharonim shebatare achid kore. The last psukim needs to be read by one person. Shelo lafsik betirato sheyesod olam. So as not to break up the death of Yisod Olam, Moshe Rabbein, the foundation of the world. Hu nikra chatan ha-gomeret ha-mitzvah. He's called chatan, he who finishes the mitzvah, ki'ilu asa'ah kula, as if he had finished all of it. Right? That the mitzvah is always nikra al-shem gomra. The totality, the process of Torah reading, who gets the most credit? The person who finishes it. That's why he's called chatan. V'nikret al-shemo, he takes the Torah and rolls it. Din gadol shebekuta gugulam mikadesh olam, and then you say kaddish again. But you know, v'chol makom makriat sefer Torah omer kaddish mevi'in sefer Torah sheni v'chozer chalila, and you do it again. Already in the time of Rashi, we talked about reading the Torah again and again and again for kavurat Torah, which is something that we never do any other day. We don't have extra Torah readings to increase aliyot. Chinuch HaTorah Hadrach Alan. Very interesting. Hadran Alach. That we finish the Torah reading, or we begin and then begin the next Torah reading. We inaugurate the new Torah reading with the phrase Hadran Alach. Hadran Alach is what we say after a siyum. After you finish reading a tractate of Mishnah or Talmud, you say Hadran. We have a whole statement that we say. And that's what they used to say after finishing the Torah, a real siyum, a real celebration over finishing it. You open and read Bereshit, all the days of creation and the day of rest. Gamhu chatan ala. That person's also considered a chatan. Kemachnich v'nechnas lachupa. Like someone who gets ready to enter the canopy. So Rav Shlomo Yitzchak Rashi here has a very beautiful poetic description of what happens in Simchat Torah. And a lot of it is what we have nowadays. So just to point out, even if we can't do dancing, there are many things that we can do. The taking out of the Sefer Torah and the singing, the recitation of verses, the notion of calling up many people to get an aliyah, katan, v'gadol, the notion of making nidarim and davot, donations like for Torah. I'll make one more note, which is something noted in Shulchan Aruch. All of this is codified in the Ramah Shulchan Aruch, pretty much. He mentions all these practices. He also mentions the practice of Kol HaNe'arim specifically, of having one aliyah for all the children and singing HaMalach HaGoel, as we do. He also mentions that the people who are the Chatanim make a big feast. They would make a big festive meal and invite people to celebrate how they finished and began the Torah. It was a real festive meal, which is something that you don't see too often, or as often nowadays. Again, unfortunately, in the time era of COVID-19, may be a bit more difficult. Although I think some shuls do it. I see something in China, I want to just get to the end. So there, we see a lot of customs. So I think in terms of our question of what to do, you could do anything. There's a lot to do. We could sing still, we can recite verses, we can still give people aliyot in the same way that we've been doing until now. That's also part and parcel of celebrating Simchat Torah. As much as I love dancing, it's not all about the dancing. To demonstrate how rowdy it gets, to demonstrate the primness, I'll say, of Simchat Torah, take a look at source number 6. This is from the Maharil, Rabbi Yaakov and Moshe Mullen. He is responsible for many of the Minhagei Ashkenaz. And this is actually in the middle of the Tshuva, where he actually criticizes behavior. But then at the end, he gets to this. Va'ani ha-melakei po'omrim. I, the gatherer of statements, meaning I who compiled all these statements of the Maharil. Ra'iti av Moreh Tzedek Ma'ari Sigal Me'od Haya Sameach. I saw the Ma'ari Sigal was very happy. V'haya nene kisheroeh ha-ne'arim ratzin b'simchat Torah mi'bayit l'bayit. When he saw the young men running from house to house on Simchas Torah, listor v'l'gzol atzei ha-sukah, to steal people's wood from their sukkot, olavi etzim, Laso Midurah, and to make a bonfire out of them. Just for show, sounds like. Sounds like it's just for show. They would take people's sukkot, and they would steal the wood and burn it for a fire on Simchas Torah. They knew how to celebrate back then. He would let them take his wood and told them to steal from the people who refused to give them the wood. Now, if you're thinking, isn't that forbidden? Yeah. You're usually not allowed to steal in Judaism. We don't steal.
Sammy?
Yeah.
Sammy, your audio is going bad.
Okay, 1 second. I'll work on that for a second. Here, let's see. Let the microphone. Just give me a second. Okay, is it any better now?
Right now it is.
Okay, I switched the speaker. Usually that works. But I'll try to move quickly, at least to make the point. So they would steal the wood of the sukkah and burn it as a celebration. And the truth is that that is a problem. Just like on Purim, though, in the spirit of the holiday, we waive, you know, these prohibitions. Burning extra on Yom Tov, Shalom Letzorach, stealing like this. Not simple, but he even encouraged it. I want to think about that as we go on. Okay, why are we so happy on Simchat Torah? And this is the other question, right? If we're so happy, the answer is because we finished the Torah, then I'm lost this year. I really am. But there are other answers, too. If you look at source number 7, Rav Avraham ben Natan of Luniel, known as Ibn Yarchi, here in his Sefer HaManig, details a number of different reasons why we are happy. Number one, we call it Simchat Torah. First of all, it is a time when Shlomo HaMelech blessed all of Klal Yisrael. In the Tanakh, this is recorded that Shlomo HaMelech, when they dedicated the temple for the first time, gave a blessing to Klal Yisrael on the 8th day of Chag. So in that vein, we are also happy on Simchat Torah. He talks about it generally being a happy year. We say about Shmini Atzeret v'hayitach ach sameach. It is a day to only be happy. It was the day that the last day of bringing all the karbanot, a day where many people completed certain mitzvot. So there are many types of happiness associated with the day of Simchat Torah, and therefore we call it Simchat Torah. So there's a lot of reasons, number one, to be happy on Simchat Torah. If you look at the Or Zeruah, however, the Or Zeruah gives us the classical answer, which he brings from Midrash and Shir HaShirim. Midrash and Shir HaShirim tells us that when Shlomo HaMelech asked God for wisdom, God granted him the wish, and afterward, the Navi tells us that Shlomo HaMelech went to Yerushalayim and made a big mishtet, a big feast for all of his people and his servants. And the Midrash says, Mikan that osin su'da l'gemara Torah. From here we learn that we make a feast for the finishing of the Torah. Says the Or Zeruah, if Shlomo HaMelech wanted to celebrate acquiring wisdom, then certainly we should celebrate finishing the Torah, which is full of wisdom. And that's why we make the su'da and the mishtet. However, there's another answer I want to focus on with the remaining time we have. Take a look at source number 9. This is from Yitzhak Turnow, from his Book of Customs. Notes on the Customs of Shmini Atzeret. Lama nikra Simchat Torah? Why is it called Simchat Torah? Shem shebishah shom dom Yisrael da Torah. When the Jews learn Torah. Holecha satan ne'akadosh baruch hu lekatrega lehem. The satan comes and accuses them. I'll read it outside in English. And he says, the Jews learn Torah, but they never finish the Torah. They don't finish the job. Kind of hurts this year. But then they do finish the Torah on Simchat Torah. So then God says, Satan, they finished it. You got nothing to tell me. Well, he says, well, they're not going to start it again. So then we open up the Torah and we start it again on Bereshit. And Hashem says to Satan, now you have nothing to say. And that's why we call it Simchat Torah. I'd like to argue that maybe this is our emphasis this year. Maybe we emphasize not the finishing of the Torah, but that we start it again. That we begin again, and maybe hopefully this year we actually finish it, but we always begin the Torah again to show our continued dedication to it. Chaim Simon, noted Jewish legal expert, has an article about this where he notes that Simchas Torah is a product of exile. There's a certain enthusiasm and energy we see from these customs because the Torah is what safeguarded us through the exile. That forever we went, we took the Torah and danced with the Torah where we were. We always had the Torah with us, and that is why we are so enthusiastic about celebrating it. Take away our temple, take away our mikdash, take away our homeland, we always had the Torah. And that's the energy behind the celebration of Simchat Torah. And that's the celebration of the beginning of the Torah, not just the finishing of it. A few review questions as we summarize. What are some things, I thought I had them here. Just to review quickly, a few things that we do to celebrate, even though we cannot dance this year. We can still sing, we can still recite the verses as the Torah is brought out. We bring out all the Torah still. Everybody can still get Aliyah. And also be creative. If you're at home, find a way to make it special. Because Simchas Torah is that simcha of continuing our engagement with Torah no matter where we are. May we be able to continually, happily, and healthily celebrate our connection to Torah in this year and hopefully normally many years to come. Thank you very much for joining me this evening.
Thank you.